It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. I'm going to show you something, or actually not really show you, I'm going to tell you something that is a powerful truth, but it's not a good powerful truth. As of today, there are 19 states where gays and lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders have workplace protections in place that prevent them from being fired based on their sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, that's the good part. But I want you to listen to that number again. 19 states. Okay, that's not 50 states. That means there's 62% of our states here in the United States, and I'm not even looking outside of the U.S. territories right now. 62% of our states don't have any kinds of protection for people in the workplace who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. That means there's a complete disregard for the well-being of their employees in that arena. And it's simply because those people don't fit the mold. It's simply because someone somewhere said, this isn't right and you can't be this. Which then begs the question for you, should you be out or should you be in at work? To help me kind of sort through this today, I've pulled in someone that I love it that her brand is the professional lesbian, because I think this is what it takes. You got to be really professional sometimes in those work environments, and you sometimes may feel you have to set aside who you are. Her name is Jen T. Grace, and she's a pretty smart gal who has stepped into the corporate arena and began to help people on both sides of the fence learn how to, if you're straight and heterosexual, how you can market to gay people. And if you're a gay person or bisexual, lesbian, transgender, how you can market yourself. Because this is what happens, is when we decide to come out, it's all a marketing job. Every bit of it is a marketing job, and that's why I thought she would be the perfect person to join me in a discussion around should you be in or should you be out in the work environment. Please welcome Jen T. Grace. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Rick. Thank you so much for having me. And when you were just doing that intro, I was sitting here nodding my head like, yes, yes, as you were going. So you were spot on with that intro of should we be in or should we be out?
Well,
it's a good question.
It is. It's a big question. You know, given, you know, in the past couple of months, especially going back to what happened in June in Orlando at Pulse Nightclub, I know some may go, well, why are you bringing that up? Well, because it's all about being out. It's all about each and every one of us being out in our own way and where we feel safe to be out. And I'm sure in the work that you do, going into different corporate environments, you are faced with this on a pretty regular basis, because that's part of the stuff that people bring you in to talk about is diversity and things such as that. But let's kind of talk about where you came from and how you got into doing this work of really helping people step into that space of marketing to the gay and lesbian community, as well as helping gays and lesbians truly market themselves. So why don't we start with where this all came from for you, Jen?
Yeah, so it all stemmed from my own personal experience of being discriminated against in the workplace. So if we go back about 10 years now, just shy of actually 12 years from when the discrimination happened. So it was back in 2004. I had a job. I was working for an insurance company, and it was my first kind of corporate job. I had been working in retail management. It was my first kind of in an office, having to understand office politics and all that kind of stuff that one's not used to if it's not the norm. And I found out really quickly. I started the job in July, and I would say by the end of the summer, I had heard pretty much every possible homophobic slur that could be thrown out. And sometimes it was directed toward me. Sometimes it was just kind of directed toward the community at large. And it wasn't a big company, maybe about 100 or so employees. So it was big enough to not know everyone personally, but small enough to know anytime somebody said something that's hurtful to you directly or behind your back. So it took about 2 years, and I was really unhappy, and I decided to go to the CEO and just basically tell him that I just wasn't happy here anymore. And he came back and challenged me to say, well, what could we do to keep you? And I was really kind of surprised by that type of comeback, because I was really kind of like, here's my 2 weeks. I can't do this anymore. And I'm sorry. Like, I really love my job. I really enjoy the marketing that I'm doing, but I cannot be in this type of, I don't want to say hostile, because at the time I didn't feel like it was a hostile environment. In hindsight, it definitely was. But at the time, I certainly didn't use that phrasing. And basically he said, you know, just come back to me with an idea that would make you happy. And I don't know why this came to me, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to propose that we market to the LGBT community. And I had no idea what that entailed. My marketing background to date was just having an undergraduate degree in communications and a little bit of experience. It really, I had no clue about niche marketing or anything of that sort. So he gave me carte blanche to actually execute an LGBT strategy that I created by doing a lot of research, this, that, and the other. In that process, I met people from the local LGBT Chamber of Commerce that was just forming. And I kind of entered this whole new world of businesses and learning and kind of working with corporations and small business and all kinds of just different types of people who were either part of the community or had some kind of stake in the game in terms of wanting to make sure that the community was represented fairly. So those two things were kind of happening at the same time. And as I was working in this insurance job, I would be going to trade shows and telling people how great we are and how you have to do business with us because we love the LGBT community. And then I would come home from that same trip and somebody would call me a dyke in the kitchen while I was like making my lunch. So it really, I couldn't reconcile. I couldn't justify. I couldn't make those two pieces work where I'm telling LGBT people how great we are. And yet at the same time, I'm being treated so poorly. So I ended up quitting that job about, I think it took about a year and a half, maybe 2 years into this endeavor. And in that time, I decided to take a leap of faith and work with the local LGBT Chamber of Commerce, who was looking for an executive director. So that's really kind of the starting grounds of it, because as an executive director of a Chamber of Commerce, your job is to work with businesses and build businesses and help them network and help them grow. And this one happened to stem around LGBT specific businesses. So I got to work with many major corporations headquartered in Connecticut, as well as the really hyper local, small business that only has one person. So it gave me a lot of experience in working with a lot of different types of businesses, and that kind of parlayed into what I do now.
So I'm really curious to understand how out you were in that environment, because I think this is the thing that trips many people up. It's like, okay, am I going to be quote unquote flamboyantly gay or butch out there as a, you know, a lesbian? Or am I just going to be trying to do life as is? And I think it's one of the things that's really tough. So would you consider yourself pretty normal in that environment? Were you talking about, you know, having, you know, a significant other, not having, you know, where would you say you put yourself?
Yeah, it's a good question. If I look to my retail environment days, for whatever reason, working in retail, being out, at least in my personal experience, was a complete non-issue. So I had been out for like 5 years at this time in my retail environment. Yep. It never even crossed my mind that I would have to go into the closet going into a corporate setting. It literally never even crossed my mind until I showed up on that first day and just kind of conversing with people. And, you know, every time you're starting a new job, it can be a little bit awkward just trying to learn who people are. And I learned really quickly that the environment I was in was not a friendly environment. And that wasn't necessarily specific to LGBT people. It was just filled with people that had bigoted points of view, that, you know, LGBT was one of multiple types of points of view that they weren't fans of. So I learned pretty quickly to just kind of keep my mouth shut, do my thing, try to navigate the environment. And I was working closely. I was running the marketing department. I was working closely with the sales team and the product development. So I came out to a couple of them, probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks in, because I started to, you know, build these really meaningful connections. And when you don't come out, I call it the invisible threshold, right? So you have like that one chance to come out. And if you miss it, everything you say thereafter becomes a lie, because now they're missing this really important piece of who you are. And I couldn't kind of fall into that trap. So I told my immediate peers, and then I overheard my boss, who didn't know at the time that I was part of the community. I overheard her telling somebody that I had that captain of the softball team dyke look about me. And that's when it was kind of like, it was just a very low blow, because I'm like, oh, who is she to kind of say who I am? And it was just really, really uncomfortable. So I skated by being half, I had like 1 foot out of the closet, I would put it that way, because I had a couple of close people that I had really gotten to know who knew, but the general majority of the company did not know, because I honestly didn't feel safe and they didn't feel safe for me.
Right.
That's how tricky of an environment it was. It's hard to be able to just, you know, put a foot out of the closet. Usually you're in or you're out.
Right.
But in this case, I balanced that tightrope for quite a while, and it was very unnerving most
of
the time.
So define safe, just because, I mean, I know how I would define it, but I haven't been in the work environment in quite a while. I've been out of corporate America since 2006. And I want you to define it only because I think it's such a spectrum of what safe can really look like and feel like. So just from your perspective, what would safe have been like to be there in a safe environment?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like, to me, the opposite of safe in this situation would be worry-free, not having to be concerned about every personal detail of my life. In hindsight, it felt hostile, but it was just hearing these derogatory comments toward you, or if a customer would call and they would have some kind of inflection to their voice that might signal that perhaps that they could be part of the community, to be hearing someone in customer service saying, you know, how they just got off the phone with that faggot, and hearing that tone of voice, that violence behind that tone. That's what makes you feel unsafe, because you don't know, especially when you're a new person on the job, you don't know what people's histories are, what their backgrounds are, what their political views are, anything. It's all kind of flying blind at that point. So I just almost instantly didn't feel safe, because I could hear the hatred that so many people, and this wasn't everybody in the company, but it was definitely the majority.
Yeah.
You can just feel that hatred kind of burning a hole through your back when you're not looking in their direction. It just felt, it's very hard to describe, but it did not feel safe. And I don't want to say that I would have been afraid to, you know, walk alone with them at night. It wasn't to that degree of safety. But in terms of a safe work environment, not wanting to be fired, for example, that's definitely something that crossed my mind many times. If people find out, or if the CEO finds out, am I going to get fired for this? And as you said in your opening, there's a lot of states where that still is currently the case, and it's pretty unacceptable in my opinion, but you know, we all have to kind of fight to get that passed so we don't have to worry about that 12 years after the fact.
Sure. It's an unfortunate space where safety can mean just about anything, from being verbally abused to potentially, God forbid, physically, you know, in harm's way, to, I think, the emotional abuse sometimes is really bad, because it will come from others, but then there's the emotional piece that we feel like we have to then take it. You know, we have to sit there and not say anything. So then there's like our own intellectual abuse that's going on within ourselves. And, you know, I don't want to send the listeners off today going, okay, screw this, I'm never going to come out, because that's not what we're here talking about. We're talking about, okay, what's the best way for you personally? Each of us is going to have, you know, our own direction here. Now, I have to admit, maybe for me, it was the perfect storm that enabled me to be very comfortable in my work environment. But I also think coming out later in life, I was kind of in the mode of, you know, this is who I am and this is the way I'm going to be, right? And I happened to be in an environment that was very gay friendly, which was pretty amazing given the time frame. It was 1996, somewhere along there. So that's when I went to work at this company, and it happened to be, probably my best guess would be, at least 30% of the workforce was gay or lesbian, for sure. We did actually have a transgender individual that worked in our support team. So we were rather progressive for that time frame. However, knowing where I was living, and we were in Orange County, California, and not being out of the closet yet myself, I really kind of took it for granted until I was on the other side of the closet door. And once I was on the other side of the closet door, I really began to appreciate that particular environment. And now, roll forward, you know, 20 some years later, it is 20 some years. It's 2016. So yeah, 20 years later, I really appreciate where that company was in my journey because I know how conservative that particular area of Southern California can be and that the homophobia that still exists in that arena. It's not comfortable. Even as I go and speak on stages in certain locations in beautiful Southern California, I can still feel the homophobia show up and it doesn't make you feel comfortable. So you move through that process, you start to become comfortable, you go out and you realize you're going to do something more. And then you step into really beginning to develop this brand around helping heterosexuals really embrace the gay community and vice versa. So tell us a little bit about what you do now.
Sure. So it stemmed from, again, the work with the Chambers of Commerce. So I jokingly was saying to people that, oh, yeah, I'm a professional lesbian when they would ask me what I did, because nobody knew what an LGBT Chamber of Commerce was. It Connecticut formed theirs in 2007. There are many parts of the country where LGBT chambers have been around, mostly the Pacific Northwest. They've been around for 30 something years at this point. But in 2007, everyone's like, well, what is that? And I'm like, well, I'm the executive director of it. And my job is to build membership, to connect people, this, that, and the other. And then finally, I just started saying, you know, I'm a professional lesbian. And it would always get a good laugh. And then they would say, what exactly do you do? And then I would go into it. And the crux of what I noticed in working with the chambers that made me realize specifically that there was a business need to be filled was that a lot of the members were allies to our community. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a sister who was a lesbian or a son that was gay, and all of these great stories that I would talk to people about. And then in the same breath, they would turn and say something homophobic or something derogatory and genuinely in their heart of hearts have no idea why they said what they said was wrong. Complete, genuine, did not know. And I recognize that that's not their fault. Somebody has to be there to say, listen, so-and-so,
right.
I hear what you said. I understand what your intention was behind what you said. However, this is what the person you were speaking to actually heard. And fourthly, here's how we change that. So it was that process over and over and over again with members that I was like, okay, clearly, if this is constantly an issue, there's got to be some education around this. And that's really kind of where I started to educate members just as my, you know, nature, par for the course. And then I realized that this is something that I could take far more broadly outside of just the state of Connecticut.
Yeah. What I find so interesting about this conversation is the fact that it's sometimes what we don't realize we're saying that does the most damage. So, see, the Orlando thing happened on June the 12th. So it was earlier that week. And the reason I remember this is because it literally happened and then the Orlando tragedy happened. I happened to be on the phone with my mother talking about something, and we got in a conversation about people making choices to do things. And she goes, well, you know, it's no different than, you know, when you made the choice to live your lifestyle. And I've gotten to the point where I just kind of like, okay, I'm done having that conversation. But, you know, it always digged at me. And then I just kind of moved past it. I've learned there are certain things you'll never change. So you can either embrace that piece with that person and decide to use your energy somewhere else, or you can continue to do the battle. I've personally chosen with my mother and father in that arena. I don't do battle. And they know that. They know that they can say stuff like that. Yet what I do know is she said it and there was actually no real intentional intention behind it. It's just part of her vocabulary. And I think this is something that so many people, and I'm going to put myself back in that space too, of so many times we say things that we don't realize we're just saying them because we say them out of habit and we don't realize the hurt that we may cause.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a gay man, probably say things numerous times. Now, one of the things I know that I say very often is it really bugs me when somebody says they're a Christian because it's like they immediately put themselves up on a pedestal. When I say something like that, I have to be very cognizant of who's around me because I have a lot of really good Christian friends who I don't mean that to be that way towards them. But I have to be careful in my own languaging that, wait, I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. In fact, a good girlfriend of mine, right after the Orlando tragedy, sent me a Facebook message saying I wanted to just respond to, you know, your posting about the tragedy. And, you know, I wanted to do it where it wouldn't get misconstrued. And when we had like a really nice dialogue behind the scenes on Facebook. But I think that's the thing that's missing sometimes, is we don't realize sometimes it's the simplest things that get said that actually do more damage than coming right out and saying, I can't stand you because you're gay. And you could say that to me and I'd be like, yeah, whatever. You know?
Me too.
And when it's the underhanded remark or the underhanded insinuation, then it's just beyond comprehension sometimes. And it makes it really difficult.
It does, but I think, so this is why I have written two books, and the second book is specifically around this type of stuff, around the miscommunications, because even in what you just said, you're implying that there's some kind of negative place that that person's coming from, and we're almost making this assumption that they're consciously coming from a negative place. A lot of times, it's completely unconscious, and I'll give you a really good example having to do with my mother. Since you brought up yours, I'll bring up mine. So this is probably 4 years ago. It was around Thanksgiving, and I am sitting in my mother's living room, and it's my wife, our two children, and my mother. So it's just the five of us, and we're sitting in her living room. Our two kids are somewhere in another room playing. And out of nowhere, my mother leans across the couch to me, and in the lightest whisper you could possibly imagine, and she's a loud woman, so her whispering is a little bit alarming in general. So she whispers at me, "Do you only work with gay people? Do you only work with gay people?" is what she whispers across her couch in her living room when it's just the three of us sitting there. And it took me by such surprise. And I said, "Why are you whispering?" And I said it in such a snotty tone, which was just kind of a knee-jerk reaction. And the look on her face was in complete shock. And her response to me was, "I don't know why I just did that." So she caught herself off guard, caught me off guard, and it created this opportunity for us to have a dialogue around why she would do that. And it signals the fact that she's uncomfortable with even saying the word gay out loud. Now, if we apply that to a business setting, and you're sitting with a customer, and this is what I train all the time on around sales strategies and techniques. If you're whispering in a loud Starbucks to somebody about them being part of the community, and you whisper lesbian or you whisper gay, you are clearly saying to that person sitting in front of you that you are not comfortable with the LGBT community. And that's something that people need to work through. And obviously, my mother needed to work through it as well. And when I first came out, she was not happy at all. But in the time when I told her that my wife and I were, at the time, we were fiancés when we were engaged, she was more concerned about the fact that I was marrying a Yankees fan because we're a diehard Red Sox household. So if we think of it from that standpoint of her like genuinely loving my wife and then saying this in a separate breath, it's not because she was consciously trying to attack me, but she didn't realize how it came across. So I've had so many opportunities, endless amount of opportunities to be able to catch somebody when they're doing that to me, sitting across the table in a busy, you know, coffee shop and say, okay, let's just back up for a second. Here's what you said. Here's what I heard. Do we see the disconnect here? And everyone that I've done that with, they really appreciate the fact that somebody tells them. It's like when you're walking around with spinach in your teeth all day and no one says something. When finally somebody does, it's like a sense of relief. It's the same scenario when somebody will call you out on your misperceptions, miscommunications. When somebody finally calls you out on that, it's almost like, wow, why didn't somebody tell me that sooner? I would have stopped saying homosexual in my business interactions. I didn't realize that there's a negative connotation of that. Why didn't somebody tell me? And that's where I feel like that is my gift, at least to those that I work with, is to be able to help them with that. Because a lot of times they're really not coming from a negative place, but they've been cast in this light. And a lot of our community is not overly forgiving. So once they've been crossed, they've been crossed. And I want to make it so these folks don't get themselves in the position where they're crossing someone unintentionally. No less.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I think what I'm hearing, the subtext of all of this, is the unconscious conscious stuff. And I know that sounds really weird, but the conscious person is doing something unconsciously that they don't even realize is happening.
Yes.
And unless we lovingly, and I'm saying lovingly, because I believe that's the way we can make this all work and we can all thrive together on the planet. Unless we lovingly approach them and educate them, which is the whole reason that I do this podcast, quite honestly, is I want to educate people, whether it's someone who's hiding in the closet, whether it's someone who has someone who is in the closet or just coming out. It's let's understand where this all emanates from and how we can, as humanity, begin to embrace each other so that things such as the massacre in Orlando, which I'm not going to debate with anybody, whether it was a terrorist act or whether it was an attack on LGBT people, it was both. Plain and simple, from my book, it was both. And if we're going to nitpick between the two, I'm sorry, I don't have energy for that. It's a tragedy, and plain and simple. However, what I will say is I see it very simply as a terrorist act that was targeted at LGBTQ people because of, at least, you know, what's come to be known, because of the stance that ISIS takes towards the LGBTQ community. And it wouldn't be any different if some other communities start to get targeted, which I won't be surprised if they do. More and more, we're seeing more of it happening across the globe, how they target, you know, different religious sects and everything. So before we wrap up here, one of the things I really wanted to get out of this conversation is this beautiful place of how we as individuals, and I mean literally we as an individual, you in your way, me in my way, whoever's listening to this podcast, if we in our own selves want to give ourselves permission to be out our own way, what are some of the best ways you could suggest somebody just say, it's okay if I don't want to be out at work. It's okay if I don't want to be out in certain circles. From your work, what would you recommend somebody does to really be in alignment with that?
I think the first thing is to make peace with yourself and not give a flying rat's ass about what anybody else thinks, which I know is so much easier said than done. I think the first step is really making peace with, if I want to be out to my friends but not my family, or if I want to be out to family and not friends, whatever that looks like, as long as you are okay with it, others around you will be okay if you take a strong and dominant lead on how you want to be. If you are coming out and you're kind of pussyfooting and tiptoeing around it and kind of, but not really, that's what I feel anyway, in my experience, is what makes other people uncomfortable and awkward, and they don't know what you want. So if you're really firm in your convictions with what you want, then go for it. I think what often happens is the LGBT community, we all make judgments on one another, and most of the time it's really unfair. So I'll be having a conversation with somebody who might be of an older generation who is just downright angry that the younger generation doesn't have to have the same struggle they had to have. And we can't compare our struggles. We can't compare our coming out stories. Everyone is unique. Everyone has a unique fingerprint. It's the same thing with our coming out. It's not a one size fits It's all. Yeah. So I think it's a matter of being okay with what you choose and hoping and knowing partially that not everyone will respect you, but hoping that most of them will, because I think that that's ultimately the way to be. And for everyone listening, to not be judgmental. I know there's a couple of bi women that I'm close with, and they get shit from so many different sides of the community where people are like, well, you just need to pick a side already. You're either gay or you're not, and completely dismissing their identity as someone who's bisexual. Yeah. And I feel like we have to stop doing that as a community, because the more we're beating each other up, and the more we're judging each other's coming out stories, and the more we're basically shoving other people back in the closet as a result of our infighting. So I think that it's just making peace with you and surrounding yourself around people who are going to respect your decisions. If people aren't going to respect the fact that you want to remain in the closet in your work environment, then that's not somebody that you should be around to begin with. Yeah, and I know it's a lot easier said than done.
Well, it is a lot easier said than done, but the more you practice, it's like going to the gym and working out. The more you flex those muscles, the easier it becomes. In fact, somebody that I am very close to, wonderful straight ally, I've talked about him a couple of times on the podcast. He speaks on the PFLAG panels when I'm on the panels, probably more on panels with him than about anybody else out of the whole speakers bureau that I speak on. And one of the things he says is he's not gay. He doesn't have a gay child. You know, none of his kids are gay, bisexual, transgender, none of this. But he happened to grow up in a time when back of the bus and whites only was his reference point. And even from that time frame to present day, One of the things he does not do is tolerate intolerance. And for a 72-year-old white, pretty much white as they come kind of guy, very conservative values, to be able to stand in front of groups of people and say, why am I here? Because I don't tolerate intolerance, says a whole lot that I wish our own community at times would really dial into. The thing we have fought for the most as individuals who are looked down upon because of who we are, not because of what we choose to be, because of who we are, we tend to be some of the most intolerant people. And I am putting myself in there because I've seen myself do it at times too. In fact, when I first came out of the closet, one of the things I just was like, I can't stand it. I can't stand these leather people. I can't stand these, you know, spiritual types that are, you know, say they're really spiritual, but then the next thing I know is they're totally into the leather scene and da-da-da-da-da. And then, you know, the first time I saw the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, I'm like, I don't get it. Until I started to really realize there's such a vast diversity of people. Just like there are vast diversity of people in the world, there's a vast diversity of people within my own LGBTQ community. And if nothing else that you can take away from this conversation today is be tolerant of yourself so that you can be tolerant of others. I think that's like the underlying message here. And don't be afraid to be who you are. No matter, I don't care if you don't want to come out at work. I know there's lots of others that feel the same way. If you don't want to be out at work, it doesn't make you less gay. I'm sorry. I don't believe that it does.
No, I agree. No, I totally agree. And I think that everyone has their own journey. And it's the same thing if we look at media today and look at who's coming out and who's not coming out, or who we're labeling as an accurate representation of our community versus who isn't. Everyone has their own journey, and we have to be respectful of that. And I find that all too often we're not respectful. And until we can be, our progress is going to continue to be stunted. And I like to work with allies. I like to work with the people who have the voice that can help us get further in our, you know, march toward equality. Because if we can get our allies to be helping us, like this gentleman that you're talking about, who seems amazing, we need more of him. Because I know for me, if we look at the trans community, it's very marginalized, a very marginalized community. I, as a lesbian, can advocate on behalf of the trans community better than someone within the community can. And you, as a gay white man, can advocate on behalf of me and that trans person better than either of us can, because of the social hierarchy that we're constantly battling with. So we all have to be allies to one another in some form or fashion. And allies learn by seeing what others are doing. And I feel like that's my role, is to be a role model for allies and others to just continue this, I guess, march toward equality that just seemingly keeps on drudging on.
It certainly does. Well, I just want to say, Jen, I'm so glad that you were able to join me on the Coming Out Lounge podcast today. And if somebody wanted to work with you or get to know you better, what's the best place for them to find you? What's your web address? I guess that'd probably be the best place.
Yeah. They can go to my website, which is jen2ngrace.com. And you can find me on pretty much all social media outlets with the same handle, Jen.
And we will have all of Jen's contact information on the show page when this podcast is up and airing, as it is right now. If you ever needed some help or guidance, these are the sort of things that we hope you will find helpful. Coming and finding people like Jen and myself, where we can say, if we can't answer the question, we can definitely help you get to the right space. There's lots of good information out there for anyone who's coming out of the closet to find guidance that they need to make the decisions that are best for them. Make sure everybody hears, do what's best for you. Sometimes that seems selfish, but in reality, when you can do what's best for you, it helps you do what's best for others. Awesome. So with that, we're going to wrap it up for this week. And if you love what you've been listening to, you guys know the drill. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you're listening to us today. Give us some love. We always appreciate that. Plus, each time we get a review or we get someone sending out a link saying you need to listen to this, we grow this community. We grow the minds that are maybe closed off to certain things, and we help other people see how the world really is with love and compassion and acceptance. And speaking of coming out at work, if there's a struggle you're having, one of the things that I currently do is a very short, intense, focused coaching session around just coming out at work. If this is something you're struggling with, just hit the one-on-one sessions there on the show page and let's get something set up where you and I can talk through that. And for now, we're going to leave it at that and just remind you once again, never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and you've been listening to the Coming Out Lounge. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll catch you in just a few days. Hey, 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 Closet Dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners, I wanted to ask you a question. If you could take stress out of your journey, be more content in who you are, and find ways to do some of the most difficult things that you need to do as you come through the closet doors, would you do it? I bet the answer is yes. Why do I know this? Because I have been getting requests from listeners and clients or prospective clients about finding ways to just address certain things in their coming out journey. Some people don't want to work for a long time, and I totally get that. And that's why I've designed some brand new coming out coaching one-on-one sessions. These are very focused, topic-specific sessions. For example, maybe you're looking at coming out midlife and how do you do it? Could be that you're already out, but you're not completely out and you want to talk about how do I do this and come out at work. Could be that you're having trouble even accepting yourself as a gay person. And might there be a possibility that you're really struggling with your sexuality and your religion? Depending on what you're looking for, I've designed 9 powerful, highly focused one-on-one laser coaching sessions that you can choose from. Each session goes for 90 minutes. We stay specifically focused on the topic at hand. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So now that you've heard about this, how would you like to go check them out? Well, here's how you do this. Go to thecomingoutcoach.com. On that page, you can scroll down. You'll see stuff for the book and for some other offerings, but then you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button, and it will take you to a page that describes each of the 9 offerings that I have. If you happen to be listening to the podcast right now, just look over to the right-hand side of the show page, and you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions right there. Again, just click on that button and go check out these new offerings. So, what do you think? Isn't it about time that you stepped out, you stepped up, and you stepped into resolving whatever the biggest issue is in your coming out journey? I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and I can't wait to work with you one-on-one.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more and tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.